You know, what Pat said, there's never been a time when we do not desperately need to live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. But folks, if you have any doubt in your heart right now, today, how desperate that need is right now in our culture and nation. And we need to give that more than lip service. We need to stop saying, well, you know, we need to live by every word and then live some other way. This nation and this culture needs the church to rise up and truly be the light and light of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because we can't, you know, what Christians are doing these days, this is not part of my message, I'm just trying to share it. It's just, we're very good at criticizing our culture, and we won't take any responsibility for it being like it is. If we're really going to be salt and light, then we will have an impact on what's going on in this nation and in our culture. And we have not been salt and light, like we are called to be. And we need to face up with that. And then we need to go with the Lord and be that. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be that. I want to share with you from Matthew. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 20. I'm sorry, I went up. John chapter 20. Well, they're close together, folks. 20th chapter of John. Starting with the 11th verse, going to the 18th. Mary was standing outside the tomb, crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. And she saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you put him, and I'll go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned toward him and exclaimed, "Teacher." "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." And then she gave them his message.
Amen.
Now sometimes we either just kind of read over this passage and don't ask questions or allow the Spirit to ask us questions. And other times we kind of look at this and have some difficulties. And here's Mary Magdalene crying, and the angels say to her, and Jesus says to her, "Why are you crying?" I heard it said, saw it said, that Jesus, when God asks us a question, it's so he can initiate conversation with us. God wants to communicate with us. You know, he's not so much looking for an answer. He's wanting to delve into our hearts and into our lives as to where we're really living and what's really going on. And so here's Mary standing outside the tomb. Wouldn't you think she would be justified in crying? And yet the angels say to her, "Why are you crying?" And I think Pat and I were talking about this just a little earlier. It's because of what she saw. It's because of what she felt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of what she was thinking. But you know what we see and what we feel and what we think are oftentimes not the real picture of what is.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? And we look at a lot of things in life, and we see things, and we feel things, and we think things, but they are not what God sees, they're not what God feels, and they're not what God thinks.
Right.
So here's Mary, and I'm thinking all these things together from what she's seen and for what she's feeling and for what she's thinking, the result in her is a helpless sense of despair. And that's obvious, it has to be. And she says to the angels, and they've taken him away. And I don't know where he is. And I want to ask you if there are ever times in your life where you feel the same. Be honest. The Lord asks questions so we can initiate conversation. Have there ever been those times in your life when you're saying, you know, my Jesus has been taken away from me and I don't know where he is, and here I am facing this situation. I've had a great loss. I've had a big tragedy. I've had a terrible heartache. I've had a big disappointment. I've never been so discouraged. I've never been so down. And you're feeling, you may not say it because, you know, a lot of places, if you say it in the church, they'll condemn you for that. Right? If you ever exhibit any kind of honest doubt. And so here's what she's feeling. My Jesus has been taken from me, and I don't know where he is. Have you ever asked Jesus where he is? Have you ever asked the Father where he is? Have you ever felt like, you know, we all love and believe and we want to live and walk in the Spirit, but have you ever felt like the Spirit has just kind of gone away someplace and left you behind? That's what Mary was feeling. And I want to tell you, that's the state that the devil, our enemy, wants us to live in. You really know that today. Satan wants you and I to live in that place of always wondering and always thinking and always asking, where's the Lord? He's gone and I don't know where he is. Says then, scripture goes on and says that she's saying these things. She looks over her shoulder. When S is behind her is what my translation says. And she sees someone. And it says that it was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Ever been there? You ever been in that place where you're glancing around and, you know, you through circumstances, through things that are going on, Jesus is right there, but you don't recognize him. You don't see him. You know, and there's a whole other reason for that. Yep. And I've kind of touched on a little bit, but we need to have, you know, if you've got an intimacy and a relationship with him now, then when those times of you can't see him and you can't sense him come along, you still know he lives.
Amen.
He lives. Not just because the Bible told you so, but because it's your heart and life experience. He's alive. So it says she glanced over her shoulder and saw him there, but she didn't recognize him. And I think part of the reason is, though, and we get in this too, she didn't expect to see him there in the first place. She was at his tomb. What she expected was a dead person.
Right.
What she expected was to go on in her hopelessness. You know, what we expect, I'm not a positive, you know, putting everything on just thinking positive. I believe in being positive. I believe in thinking positive. But I don't put my faith in those things. I put my faith in him. And I do believe that we should have an expectation, no matter how dark it is, no matter how desperate it is, that he's alive and he's there and he's working and he's moving.
That's
and
right.
Miracles still take place.
Amen.
Mary had lost that heart that expected her Lord. Mary had seen him do great miracles, right?
Right.
She knew about Lazarus. And yet that wasn't her expectation. Ever been there? How many miracles have you and I seen? How many great works has Christ done in our lives already? And yet when we get into that place of desperation, we don't expect him to be there. We don't expect him to move with power. We don't expect a miracle. So I put one time, you know, children believe what you tell them, right? And I saw it put this way, that children believe in miracles until some adult comes along and tells them they're not possible. Who's coming along in your life that's telling you that it's not possible anymore? So she didn't recognize the Lord, and she didn't expect him to be here, and she thought he was someone else. So again, you look at the circumstances that we face in life and the things that we deal with in life. You know, a lot of times what we think is bad, God means for good, right?
Yes.
Right? But that's not how we see it in the beginning. We think it's something else. Here's Mary thinking that all is lost, and here's Jesus standing right with her, and she thinks he's something else, someone else. She's thinking that the result is going to be something different than what Jesus intended. And Jesus asks her the same question. Mary, why are you crying? You can use your name right then, but why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And again, you know, an old famous book written by a guy named Paul Bilkheimer, I believe, and the title of it is "Don't Waste Your Sorrows." You know, did you know that in your pain and in your heartache and in your loss and in even your sorrow, the deepest sorrow you have, Jesus wants to bring you face to face so that you can find who you really need in that place, and you can find who it is you're really looking for. You know, we've become masters at looking for salvation in all the ones and things that aren't salvation. You know, this political situation that we see going on, I think one thing that's being revealed on both sides of the aisle, so to speak, and the candidates are learning to speak to it, is that our real love is centered on ourselves and our possessions and how much we can have, and what we might lose instead of life. And the Lord wants to bring us close and face to face in our lives and in our problems and our situations with who and what our real need is. Has Jesus ever asked you lately, especially in that place of desperation or trial or need, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus to come through and bring about a result that you want? Are you looking for Jesus? Isn't there a big difference?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a result-oriented person where, okay, here's the goal I want to reach, and here's the situation I want God to work out for me, or do you want Jesus? There's nothing wrong with petitioning the Lord for desires that we have, but what do you want most? Your life to go well, or Christ? So, Mary, what are you looking for? And he wants us to come face to face with our doubts, and he wants us to come face to face with our hopelessness, and he wants us to come face to face with what we really need and who it is we really need. So he confronts us with who it is and what it is we're really looking for. You know, when I got saved, one of the popular things that I heard all the time was, come to Jesus and he'll make your life good. And I didn't hear a whole lot about the cross, denying self and taking up the cross and dying out to self. I just heard that, you know, Jesus makes everything great. He has a wonderful plan for your life.
Yeah.
Amen, he does. Who gets to define wonderful?
Right.
See, there's our idea of wonderful. Pay increases all the time. Job that I love. Kids are perfect all the time. So we just move on now. Marriage, never had any struggles. Ministry is just rewarding all the time. There's nothing but growth everywhere you look. And that's what God does. Except that's not how it is. But his wonderful plan means that he brings us nearer and nearer and deeper into himself. And his wonderful plan is that we become like him.
Amen.
That's the plan.
Amen.
And you only find that, you only enter in that in the same path that Jesus walked, to the cross and then the resurrection. And you don't have to wait till you die to enter into that resurrection life.
Hallelujah.
You know that? You don't have to, you know, if life is abundant, isn't it supposed to be abundant here,
right,
spiritually? Instead of just kind of live waiting to die.
Right. Amen. and just live in Him. So here's Jesus confronting Mary, and she's focused on her loss and not on Him. How many times have you and I been there? How many times have you and I been in the place where we're focused on what we don't have, what we think we lost, what is not going right, instead of Him? You know, didn't Jesus spend a lot of time talking to His disciples and His followers about what was to come and what was going to happen and what He had for them, and yet they didn't hear? And so when all the worst happened, all they could figure on and focus on was what they lost and what they didn't have, instead of all that they had, instead of all that they still have in Jesus Christ. And so here's the word now, and starting, you know, one of the things I love about Jesus is He just never stops probing us and going deeper with us, and just not giving up on us. And it says here, when Jesus spoke her name, first time He had spoken her name, He speaks her name, and when He spoke her name, it says that she recognized who He was. Right. How do you think that was? Because Mary was already living with all the faults, with all the things, with all the things she wasn't doing or getting right. Mary loved Him so intimately that when He spoke, she recognized His voice. She recognized His voice. And that's all the difference. You know, when we live so, when you have that kind of intimacy with Him, that even in the darkest place, when He speaks, you can hear Him. You ever notice the difference when, you know, after the resurrection and the disciples are kind of out there and Peter says, let's go fishing. Remember that? You know that part of the Bible? And they go out in the boat and then here comes Jesus. He shows up on the shore and He speaks to them. You ever notice that Peter doesn't recognize that voice and yet John does? Wasn't John the one that at the Last Supper was lying on the breast of Jesus in intimacy? When we live in intimacy spiritually with Christ, when He speaks, even in the darkness, even in the valley of the shadow of death, we hear Him and we respond. And so she says, teacher. Now here's the part that I think a lot of us either we don't think much about or we have struggles with. And Jesus says, don't cling to me. Don't cling to me. I must ascend to my Father. You ever wonder why the Lord said that? You know, one of the reasons I think that I've come across is we have a tendency to want to keep Jesus in the place that we're most comfortable with Him. Right? You know, when we know Jesus as healer, that we want to keep Him there as healer. When we know Jesus as provider, we want to keep Him there as provider. When we know Him as teacher, like Mary did, we want to keep Him there as teacher. And Jesus said, hey, I'm not going to keep you where you're at. I'm going to take you where I am. You get the difference there? I want to take you where I am. I'm ascending. I'm always upward. And that's my call for you. I am always calling you onward and upward. And wherever you are, no matter how much victory you have now, no matter how long you've known me, I have more for you than this place. And that's what He's saying to Mary. Don't cling to me. Don't try to keep me in this place. Don't try to keep me in your comfort zone. Let me take you out of it and into new places in me. Because I've got a journey for you you wouldn't believe if I told you all about it. Don't cling to me. I'm ascending. You're never going to be able to know Him the way He wants to be known if you're trying to keep Him in the place that you're most comfortable with Him. Because He's always going to take you. He's going to break every one of your comfort zones apart if you're really committed to following Him. So, yeah, that's why Paul said, everything in my life has been shaken, so there's nothing that remains that can be shaken because I am so solidly standing on Christ and in Christ. He is always going to take you and me, if we'll go with Him, into higher, deeper, wider places in Himself. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so after that, he says to Mary, go and tell the others where and to whom I'm going. Go and tell the others where and to whom I'm going. This is what we need to be doing in the church. I know we need to be out there witnessing to a lost and dying world. I know that. But we in the church need to get this message. We need to know where it is the Lord is taking us to in Him. And we need to know and tell one another and encourage one another all the time. This is what God's calling us to. This is the life He means for you and me. We're not supposed to be the tail. We're supposed to live as the head. We're not supposed to live trying to just get through a day. We're supposed to live in victory every day. Now I know there are times we don't feel victorious. I understand that. But I'm talking about the fact that we know here and here that no matter what we feel, no matter what we're seeing, no matter even the darts that the enemy's throwing into our thinking, we are victorious.
Amen.
We are. We're going. Jesus said this. Tell them where I'm going. I'm going to our God. Our Father. And don't you notice how in this translation says, tell my brothers and my sisters where I'm going. Because I want you to be here with me. I love that scripture where the Lord said that you might be where I am, that you might be also.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you and I are supposed to be living, folks, where He's at. Not where the devil would like to talk us into staying, where he's at.
Yes.
So that where I am, you may be on.
Hey.
It said that Mary obeyed, and she found the disciples, and she said this, I have seen the Lord. And I think, you know, we don't know what else she said, but I think part to add on to that, but at least be, I have seen the Lord, and I have seen Him as I've never seen Him before, and you need to see Him too. You need to see Him too. We need to see Him too. We need to see Him too. So the question for you and I is have you seen Him like that? Can we? Have you and have I really seen the Lord? I love the song we sang today. You know, Doug and Pat and all the rest of the team did such a wonderful job. But I wonder, all the things that we say today and sing about today, when we get the road tomorrow of day by day living. I know it's real to you here this morning. Will it be real to you tomorrow? When you don't have this gathered emotion and spirit together with you yet, will it be real to you? Because tomorrow I guarantee you, sometime very soon, Satan's going to come along. He's going to work through your circumstance and work through what's going on in your life. And he's going to try to get you to see what's not there. Try to get you to think the way he wants you to think. And feel the way he wants you to feel. And the choice for you and I is going to be, do I want to feel like this? Do I want to think like this? Do I want to see like this? Or do I want to see my Savior? And do I want to see things the way He sees them? Do I want to feel things the way He feels them? Do I want to think about life the way He thinks about life? Or not? Which will it be for you and me? This way. Come down to that. His way or not. What's your choice? What's your choice? Let's pray. All right. You know, even no matter how much time I spend just with our folks or any folks, I cannot begin to know all that's going on in your heart this morning. I can't begin to know what your fears are, or your challenges. I can't begin to know what's going through your mind or what you're feeling. And I can't begin to know how you see things. But he does. So who do you think your life this morning more resembles? The Mary who had not yet recognized Jesus was there, or the Mary who did finally recognize that Jesus was there? In all the problems and all the challenges and all the things going on, what are you seeing? What are you feeling? And what are you thinking? Because the Lord stands amongst us here this morning and says to each one of us, hey, no matter where you are, I have so much more for you than this. I want you to be where I am. And if you make that choice, and you make that decision, then all the power of hell, and all the power of death, and all the power of darkness cannot keep you from being with me in that place, in this place. You would say this morning, with all our heads bowed, I don't generally do this, but with all our heads bowed, you would say this morning, I want to be where he is, and I'm with him. I don't want anything to keep me from being where he is. I don't want, and no matter what hell says, no matter what the devil says, no matter what the darkness says, no matter what my circumstances say, I want to be where he is. If that's you, would you raise your hand here this morning? I want to be where he is. And I will not allow anything because of the grace of God to keep me from being where he is. Father God, you see each heart here, you see each life. You are Lord. Our songs and our prayers and communion, all rich. And I think you know, I know you know, that you are welcome here. May you see also, Lord, that you are welcome in our hearts today, tomorrow, and every day beyond. We live by faith and by grace and by the power of our God, and not all of the darkness and death and power of hell can keep us from the fullness of life in Christ. In Jesus' name.